Just a pre-note before the short story, the final match. Like many boys, I got caught up in the world of sports. I was a wrestler at Polk Central High School in the late 80s. Although I was basically an average wrestler and the main character in this story much better, my personal knowledge of the sport is reflected. The main character is Paul Landers, and he was influenced by his grandfather. As you will see in the story, like Paul, I too was influenced by terrific father figures in my life. Rick, my dad, Lynn, my paternal granddad, and John, my maternal granddad, Bryant Owen, my current pastor, and Jack Pergram, my former pastor. This story has an interesting plot, so here we go. The final match. As Paul Landers sat in the upper bleachers of Rockford High, his awareness vacillated between the hardness of the bleachers and the tattooed back of the wrestler below. "I'm glad I don't have to wrestle that tattooed monster down there," mumbled Bruce, Paul's high school wrestling buddy, who was also competing in the state finals. "I could beat that spotted freak any day of the week," added Kirk, another member of the Crestfield High wrestling team, who had already been eliminated in earlier competition. "Dream on," Paul thought. "That's just like Kirk, all talk and no do." As Paul studied the conditioned wrestler below, he took note of the bulging muscles which defined his body, and especially one of the tattoos on his back of a fire-breathing dragon, his prey cowering helplessly beneath him. Paul wondered half-mockingly if the guy's tattoos, like Samson's hair, were the key to his strength. Knowing his own match was drawing closer, Paul lowered his head as the tattooed wrestler slammed his opponent to the mat for a quick pin. Cooper Lynch on deck. Landers and Green in the hole. Hearing his name call, Paul extended his hand to his teammates for a five and nervously maneuvered his way through the crowded bleachers to the floor. He then slipped off his shirt and began to jump rope as his coach came over to him. "What advice should I give to a wrestler with a 36-0 record?" the coach asked. "Just keep up the good work, son. If you wrestle like you have all year, you should leave this place state champion. Your favorite, Holly." As Paul continued to jump, he focused on the veins bulging from his tightened biceps. Paul's grandfather's muscular arm stretched tautly, one giant hand gripping the shotgun barrel, while one finger of the other hooked the trigger. 8-year-old Paul wondered if his arms would ever be as big as his granddad's. "Remember, Paul, always put your gun on safety after firing it. And never point a gun at anyone or anything unless you're aiming to kill," his grandfather warned in a husky voice. One deafening blast and the can sitting on the fence post launched through the air. "Landers on deck," the intruding voice interrupted Paul's thoughts. Paul automatically adjusted his headgear and closed his eyes in meditation to psych him up for the final match. His mind strangely troubled and groping. Paul's grandfather's arms draped helplessly by his side, the once muscular biceps now sagging loosely, tubes extending into the catheter in his chest, chemicals dripping in a saline solution. A huge computerized heat machine pressed close to his side while the computer constantly registered information. "This is a hypothermia machine which transmits microwave heat," the nurse explained to Paul and his parents. "It's supposed to cause the tumors to destroy themselves. Disc full. I'll have to start another," the nurse efficiently booted another disc and the temperature probe continued recording information into the computer. The nurse monitored both the computer readings and Paul's granddad's reactions, making adjustments accordingly. The buzzer sounded, ending the Cooper-Lynch match in a close decision. Now it was Paul's turn. Since he was seated number one, Paul surveyed his opponent, a North Wilkes High senior, with confidence. Both wrestlers quickly moved to the center of the mat to face each other in a ready stance, eyes locked with eagerness to win. "Are you boys ready?" the referee asked. Paul and his opponent nodded and shook hands. As Paul grasped his opponent's hand, he felt a fire, a want in his opponent that sent his blood boiling up his arm. The whistle sounded. Before Paul could blink an eye, his opponent penetrated and had Paul's legs in a bind. As his opponent lifted him from the mat, Paul struggled against the absence of solid ground under his feet. Suddenly, he was brought ferociously to the mat face down. The referee held up two fingers representing 2 points for Green for a takedown. As Paul tried to work himself to his base, Green chopped Paul's arms and broke him down. Again, Paul tried to work himself to his base, this time succeeding. Paul quickly executed a clean sit-out movement, which reversed Green for 2 points. The whistle sounded, ending the first period. The score was tied 2-2 at the start of the second period. The referee then flipped the red and green token to see who got to choose top, bottom, neutral, or defer. Paul won the toss, choosing bottom, hoping to get an escape or reversal to lead the match. When the whistle blew, Paul immediately tried to achieve another sit-out and reversal, but his move was countered by a spiral especially used to stop reversals. Then Paul violently stood up and broke loose of Green's grip. The referee awarded Paul 1 point for his escape. Dr. Strauss, a tall, thin, white-haired man with piercing blue eyes and slightly stooped shoulders, called Paul and his parents back into his office. "I thought it would be best to tell you now that Grandpa Lander's condition has worsened. I'm afraid we're not going to be able to extend his time more than 3 to 6 months." Paul suddenly felt weak and lightheaded. "My immediate concern," the doctor continued, "is that he have some place he can go where he can be cared for." "Of course he can come live with us," said Paul's mother, her voice thick and trembling. "We can put him in the spare bedroom." "He'll require a great deal of constant care," Dr. Strauss said gently. Paul felt numb with disbelief. It sickened him to think of his once strong, muscular grandfather, now weak and dying. At that moment, Paul felt like running far away to keep from having to look at his grandfather's wasting body. Maybe this was all just a bad dream, and he would wake up to see his granddad once again winding his way through the open fields, Winchester cocked and ready in search of hiding quail. With 43 seconds left in the second period, Paul was leading by one. Both wrestlers were in neutral position trying to locate a weak spot in their opponent. Again, Green penetrated and took Paul to the mat for 2 points. Paul immediately got up, sweat rolling off his forehead, and shook himself loose from his opponent for a point when the whistle sounded. Surprised at his exhaustion after many months of strenuous conditioning, Paul took a deep breath to prepare for the third and final period. The score was tied 4-4. Paul's opponent got to choose his position since Paul had chosen the first time. He chose bottom. "Bottom man, are you ready?" the referee asked. Paul's opponent nodded his head. "Top man," Paul nodded. Paul knew this round would decide who would be state champion. The whistle sounded, echoing over the yells and screams of the anxious crowd. Green tried to stand up, but Paul brought him firmly back to the mat. Paul pushed Green's head into the mat, his body hunched and contorted. Paul's grandfather's head hung forward against his chest as Paul pushed him down the sidewalk in his wheelchair. The silence between them felt awkward and lonely. Paul did not know what to say to this man who had become a stranger to him. It angered and embarrassed him to see his grandfather's back hunched over so helplessly, his body cruelly defeated. Paul wondered how his grandfather could have let this happen to him, even though he knew in his heart that it wasn't his grandfather's fault. He was angry at him. Paul's opponent continued to work himself to his base, but Paul continued to break him down. After Paul saw the opening underneath the North Wilkes senior's arm, he skillfully shot the half Nelson, effortlessly rolled his opponent to his back. When the referee gave Paul 3 points for the near fall, Paul led his opponent back to his stomach, seeing that he wasn't going to pin him. Again, Green worked himself to his base, but this time Paul got him in the cradle for 3 more points. Paul still couldn't pin his opponent, so he led him back to his stomach. Although Paul was exhausted, he knew he was winning with victory in close reach. The score was 4-10, Paul's favor, with 46 seconds left when Paul's opponent escaped from his clutch. Without wasting time, Green grabbed Paul around his waist and did the slam dunk of wrestling, arching his back and throwing Paul's shoulders to the mat. Paul felt his breath knocked right out of him. As he lay there, shoulders pinned to the mat, the fluorescent lights above brought spots to his eyes. Out of the corner of his eye, Paul saw the referee raise his hand and bring it firmly to the mat. Whistle screeching, Paul was pinned. Tears of humiliation and defeat stung his eyes as he lay in his own sweat, his dreams shattered. Paul felt his granddad's arms, strong and whole again, encircle him gently, lifting him scraped and bleeding from the pavement. His wrecked bicycle lay upside down beside him, its wheels spinning out of control. Suddenly, Paul wanted to go to his granddad, to put his arms around him once again. "It's all right, granddad," he whispered, tears streaming down his face. "It's all right."